Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship you, Lord, for your great goodness and for your mercy, O Lord, showing forth your loving kindness in the morning. And by the grace of God, when the evening time comes at the night, we show forth your great faithfulness every night. Father, we thank you. We worship you for the time of praise and rejoicing before the Lord. Say rejoice in the Lord. I say yes, rejoice always. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Lord, we thank you. As we read your word this morning, Lord, we are trusting you, Lord, that you will bless us in the reading of it, Lord. Thank you, Father, for being in the midst of us. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. The Bible encourages us to always be aware of the things which have been freely given unto the church, to the children of God. And just to remind ourselves many times, you know, of these things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, my brother. So this morning, one of those things is the healing power of Christ. So some of the things have been freely given unto the church. And we just remind ourselves once in a while of these things, to take advantage of them, the healing power of Christ. Well, what a remarkable thing. The children of Israel, no sooner the Lord redeemed them and brought them out of Egypt, that he gave them a covenant of healing. It clearly shows the importance God attaches to healing his people. He wants his people to be well and strong, not sickly, nor invalid. He knew that men could be of little service to him unless they had well, healthy bodies. So let's see what he did, that covenant, Bible call it the healing statute and ordinance he gave to Israel in Exodus 15:24. Talking about the healing power of Christ. And I'm going right to the Old Testament to start from there. And the people murmur against Moses. This is as soon as they got out of Egypt, right? Saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the water, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and he proved them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Right from the beginning, right, we see right there, the tree that God showed Moses, which when he cast into that water, bitter water, and made it sweet, was a type of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, actually. And to bring that home to us, the Bible tells in the New Testament, we read in 1 Peter 2:24, talking about, Bible says, cast a tree, showing the tree, right? It will be cast into the bitter water, so it's made sweet, right? And the same word was used in 1 Peter 2:24, where the Bible says, who is own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree. There you go. So in some ways, it's showing Moses a tree, right? Cut into that bitter water to Mara, and it became sweet. It was a type of the cross of Christ, which the cross of Christ is the antitype. So we see right there. Thus, we see that from the very beginning, divine healing is portrayed as associated with the atonement. Healing is God's will for his people. And there at Mara, the promise of divine healing was made for them as a statute and an ordinance. And there the Lord proved them there. And just as water baptism or the Lord's Supper is an ordinance given to the church, So divine healing too was to be an ordinance for the people of God of all generations, you know, to the coming of the Lord. As we will see in this again. Those which have been freely given unto us, remind ourselves every so often, you know, and this kind of evil world. Now the human body is a part of man. You see what is he saying? I said the human body is a part of man. By that I mean because man is triune, isn't it? His spirit, soul and body. That is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the 23rd verse. The part I'm talking about is, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when I say the human body is a part of man, that's what I meant. Part of the triunity of man is your body. So the body is holy. According to the scripture, if I appreciate, the body is holy and God has made this, has made full provision that it might have health. Yeah, he provided for us. And there is, as it should be, a direct relation between the health of the believer's body and the health of his soul. There is a connection in there, you know, between the believer's body and the health of his soul, as is clearly shown us in the popular scripture in 3 John 2. See the connection there, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. There's a connection in there, you see, right there. See in the Bible, right there, you know, between the health of the body and of the soul. So, as far as an individual is concerned, God's blessings can only be appropriated when specific conditions are met. That Exodus 15:26 tells us these things, you know. You have to do your part. God made a provision. God gave some blessings. But there is always a condition to be met by individual. So in Exodus 15:26, which I read before, you know, there are four conditions that he mentioned in that place. One, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Two, we do that which is right in his sight. Number three, we give ear to his commandments. And the fourth one, keep all his statutes. Then the promise, I will put none of these diseases, or if you want, I will permit in the other, I will permit none of these diseases, you know, to come upon you, which have been upon the children of Israel, of Egypt and so on. For I am the Lord that healeth thee, the Lord said. Now, the whole plan of healing assumes, therefore, a right condition of the heart, a purpose to serve the Lord with the whole mind and soul and spirit. That will give him your all. He gave us his all, right? That will give him his all, you know? So just as he gave us his all. And no one should think he can secure or at least retain his healing on cheaper terms. You cannot retain your healing on cheaper terms that the Lord has given unto us. You see? So the conditions are, give him your whole heart, serve him with all your might, and so on and so forth, as you know. So you can't do it any less. You cannot secure your head, you know, on any cheaper time than that. Because he told the children of Israel. Nevertheless, the promise is there for all of God's children. Who we want to be well, right? God's promise is there for all of them. So, noticeably, the promise emphasize immunity from sickness. This morning we are talking about the healing power of Christ. So the promise emphasize immunity from sickness. That is God's plan for his people, rather than giving assurance of healing. Because he said, I will put or I will permit none of these diseases upon you and so on. Nevertheless, for those who need healing, yes, that promise is immunity from disease, really, you know. But if we are sick, there's a provision, you know, for us and some of us, you know, that the Lord has graciously provided, through his word. He has seven compound names. The Lord has seven compound names. And to show the importance of how he wants to heal his people, one of these companions is Jehovah Rapha. You see? He has seven companions. One of them is Jehovah Rapha. And that is what that word in Exodus 15 means, where he says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. That means Jehovah Rapha. That is what it means, you know, in the language of Hebrew and whatever. So he's concerned, you know, for his people to be well and to be strong. So of all the seven covenants he has, and one of them is Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. That God should reveal one of his covenant names as Jehovah Rapha is an irrefutable proof that divine healing is a privilege of God's children, as we see throughout this message this morning by the grace of God. Where, you see, the children of Israel, you know, there they should, now, God repeated this promise about three times in the Old Testament. So there the children of Israel should fail to catch the significance or the full meaning of this covenant of healing. So the Lord repeated it in a slightly different way in Exodus 23:25. I hear what he says in that place. Ah, ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Oh, I don't see any kind that this one is more relevant than the day we are living in today, you know. No water, bless your bread, bless your water, all because you are serving the Lord, right? What is it about how great it is to serve the Lord, really, you know? In the days of pollution we are living in today, you don't know what is in the food, you don't know what is in the water, you don't know what is in the, you know, in the air that you are breathing, all polluted, right? And the Bible says that, but in the care of God, if you know this scripture, you can claim immunity for all of them, the pollution of the food, the pollution of the water and the air. There is God's word for you. Now, yet again, that's second place, right? Yet again, the promise is repeated in the book of Deuteronomy, which is a summary of the law of God, the truth of God's promise of divine head. Deuteronomy 7:15 says this, and the law will take away from thee all sickness. All, notice the word all sickness. And will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. But we lay them upon all them that hate thee. So three times the Lord repeated the same thing to the children of Israel. So we see that there, to emphasize his gift, you know, his divine will and love for his people to be strong and well. Now, for as long period while they were in the wilderness, the children of Israel were immune to sickness. The only occasional time when they rebel against the law, something will happen to them. But in as much as they work with the law, because the order has started to say, he told them four things, right? They have to keep, right? When they break the law, and they go sick, right? But other than that, I mean, they were immune to sickness in the wilderness. No wonder the psalmist could say in Psalm 105:37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribe. It happened among them. Divine healing and so on. And even immunity from sickness is the Lord that healeth, or the Jehovah Rapha. Now, Moses reached the advanced age of 120 years. In the natural, people think you will suppose that Moses to have arrived at a state of serenity and decrepit, and weakness because he was 20 years because of old age, right? But not so. We find that he experienced a remarkable physical preservation, so that in a real sense, he retained the vitality of youth until the day he died. Look at the testimony of God gave about Moses in Deuteronomy 34:7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Testimony of Moses, right? No? I feel under that, you know? Well, some will say that he was like that because he was unique, or because he was the leader, you know, of the people of Israel, and that's why he was like that. So, don't think that way because God has another man in the Bible by the name of Caleb. And Caleb, of course, as we know in the Bible, was one of the 12 spies who was sent to spy the land, you know, and some of that, you know. And one of those who brought back a good report, that's the only two, brought 12 were sent, only two brought back good report. The other ones, oh, they are giants in the land. Oh, we are like grasshoppers, negative confession and so on, that, you know. Yet they saw in that place, they saw the grapes. They even carry it on their shoulders, big grape and so on. They now pray with milk and honey. They can only see giants and so on. Only Caleb and Joshua bring back good report, right? And look at what happens to people who have good report, right? Bible says, how beautiful upon the mountain. At the feet of them that bring good tidings, right? Anyway, so we see. So, you know, he was one of the two brought good report. Well, it might not be beside the point to note that Caleb's blessing in a considerable measure resulted because he brought back a good report. Because the wisest man of his time, by the name of Solomon, wrote by divine inspiration concerning good report in Proverbs 15:30. That's what he says. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fast. So I'm not surprised that Caleb, being one of those people who brought good report, has a good longevity and something like that, you know. I think his testimony is worth relation to God's children today to remind us. So this is a man called Caleb who has put in some strenuous years as one of the military leaders of Israel. Yet at 85 years of age, he had a remarkable testimony. Let me read it to you. Joshua 14, the 10th verse. And now, telling Moses now. Yes. And now, telling Joshua rather. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me. I love that one, right? It's not our own doing. It is the Lord's doing, right? And the Lord that healeth thee, right? Jehovah Rapha, right? And the Lord that healeth, not our own doing. We have our part to play, though. Okay? Say the Lord, how he referred the Lord, you know. He didn't say he did anything. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me. Even in the book of Peter, those who are kept, you know, by the power of faith at this end time, you have to be kept by the power of faith. Submit yourself unto the Lord. Surrender to the Lord. Submit to the Lord. He's the one that is our keeper. The Lord is my shepherd, as well as you know. So anyway, I love that one about him. So, and now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I'm this day 85 years old. That's 85 years old. Here, what he said, verse 11. As yet, I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For what? Both to go out and to come in. What a testimony at 85 years old. I'm still as strong as 45 years ago, he said, you know. And he attributed that to the Lord, right? And we serve the same Lord, right? Now, I've read to you, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, right? And he shall bless thy bread, right? He shall bless thy water. And he will take away sickness from the midst of you. The same Lord that you and I are serving. And he has the same thing for us today. Now, so this duo, meaning Moses and Caleb, proved that old age need not be toxic or debilitating, as most people think today. If you are a child of God, really, you know, people think that when you are old, you have to be stiff and be weak and be looking for a start to walk around. Oh, not to be so. So this at the mouth of two or three witnesses, right? So in 2 Corinthians 13:1, so in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. The duo, Moses and Caleb, prove it to us that when you are living for God, don't have to hold it, just have to be toxic or be debilitating to you and so on that people believe today. Anyway, and may I also add that these statutes and ordinances of divine healing that God gave the children of Israel apply to the church today. So not only to Caleb or the children of Israel, it applies to the church today. You know, after all, Israel was referred to as a church in the wilderness. In Stephen's testimony and rebuke of the unbelievers of his day before they martyred him in Acts 7:38, he says this, and we are told, that's what he said, he called the church in the wilderness. And we are the church of today, right? So if God did that for the church in the wilderness in Acts 7:38, what about us? So we are told in 2 Corinthians 1:20. So don't just for the children of Israel alone, for us today, for all the promises of God, whether Old Testament or New Testament, in Him, meaning Jesus Christ, yes, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by all. So whatever blessings He gave them in the Old Testament, we have all that and even more in the days of grace. So don't just say because the children of Israel and so on, that belong unto us today. Now, we see the Lord Jesus Christ was that Jehovah Rapha that healed His people in the Old Testament days. Talking about the healing power of Christ, right? All I have told you so far, they were done to death by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says so. Let's turn the Bible to 1 Corinthians 10 to show you it is the Lord Jesus who healed them right here. 1 Corinthians 10:1. Moreover, brethren, I will not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So all the healing I told you about, the Jehovah Rapha, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So because the whole Bible is about one personality, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Christ, if you read it right. So it was the one who healed them. He was the one that is the Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healed them. This morning, talking about the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, from this we see that Christ was actually the one who fed the children of Israel and led them in the wilderness. In John 6:30, John chapter 6 verse 30, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What does thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. I'm showing to you that all the miracles of the Old Testament that you hear about, they were wrought by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's what I'm trying to put to you here. you see, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And you see, but that's the Father. And the Lord said, I and the Father, we are one, right? That's what He says. He says, I have seen me, I have seen the Father. Praise the Lord. All over the Bible, so you see. So He was the one who fed them with manna in the wilderness. He was the one who healed them. He was the one with the Jehovah Rapha and the one that healed thee. He is the one that has cast Moses in the pillar of fire, you know, and commissioned him, the same Lord Jesus Christ. Now, He therefore was the one who healed them. See? And it was Christ who healed Miriam after she had committed the sin of opposing Moses' authority. Talking about the healing power of Christ, right? Right from the Old Testament, you know, as they were, come out of that place, this is the Miriam, a prophetess, right? Even a prophet can make a mistake, right? You know, he made a mistake. Even Aaron made a mistake and so forth, begin to rebuke Moses and so on, begin to come against Moses and so on, she became leprous, And it was the Lord that healed him. Moses had to intercede for her, and the Lord healed her. One of the shortest prayers in the Bible. Healer, I beseech thee, O Lord. I think the number 40, I believe it is, and something like that, you know. And the Lord had Moses and Miriam. What a kind heart Moses was. He was a meek man, really, you know. He didn't say because he was pushing against at me, oh, now God is punishing him and punishing her. You know, he had the mind of Christ, amen. Like on the cross, Father forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. You see, it was a type of Christ in so many ways, you know. Give us an example right there, you know. So anyway, it was Christ who hid the chain of Israel after they murmured against Moses and were beaten by three serpents. The prophet, meaning Moses, placed a brazen serpent upon a pole, and all who were beaten, you know, but look upon the serpent, they were healed. That is in Numbers 21, verses 7 to 9, which I don't have time to read right now. So that in itself, that symbol of him raising up a brazen serpent, and those who were beaten by serpents were healed, was actually a type of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to heal, and Christ was the antitype of what happened in India. So, like I said, and we see the Lord himself, you know, confirmed this in John 3:14. I heard what the Lord said about that scenario, that he is the antitype. And what Moses did there was a type, John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we see right there, the healing power of Christ. In Hebrews 13:8, we are told, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. See, man may change, things may change, circumstances may change around you and in the world, and they are changing every day anyway, but the eternal God does not change. He even said, I am the Lord, and I change it not. In Malachi, he said, I am the Lord, and I change it not. His power has never waned, no? And if God healed the sick yesterday, he can't. And we do so today, because it doesn't change, right? And as long as there are any sick who meet the simple conditions of faith, that's all you need. That's all you need to get healing. Simple conditions of faith. You see, we do the same thing for you. It takes two to make a covenant, isn't it? Man may break his own part of the covenant, but God will never break his own part of the covenant. See, I am the Lord, and you know, I change it to not. My covenant will not break, nor alter the thing which comes out of my mouth, right? So if you are not getting healed, and I'm a Christian, because you are breaking your own part of the covenant, and you know, I'm still the Jehovah Rapha. See? So that's what the Lord is saying, and so on and that, you know. So anyway, in Luke 21:33, that's what the Lord said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. So he has a covenant of healing with you, and all of those things, and all that, you know, you keep your part of it. Like in the Old Testament, you know, he told them, give me a condition, right? Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God. I've read it many times today, that God, and we bless your bread, we bless your water, take away all sickness from the midst of you. Those things are true today, because God doesn't change. You do your part, I do my part, and you will see, you see, if that can't believe, he said, okay, that shall see the glory of God, right? So anyway, we see. A question was asked in Romans, talking about what I'm talking about now, if you are not keeping your part of the covenant, right? So in Romans 3:3, the question was asked, for what if some did not believe? I'm saying God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What healing he did yesterday can do today for you and I. But the question is this. What? If some do not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? He gave us the answer in the next verse, in Romans 3:4. He said, God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. So when you are having a promise of God in your hand, doesn't to be working, watch what you are doing. Are you keeping your part of the covenant of God? Be really sure God will never change his word. You see, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, my word will not pass away. Just to yourself that you are keeping your own part of the God's covenant, and all things will work out for you for good. It will be as God said it will be, you know. So we see right here. Now, it is true that man, by his tradition, can make the word of God of non-effect. That's something that happened to people, you know, by tradition. Oh, that's how what people believe. That's how people think it should be. What does God say? Are you talking about what people say or what God said, right? That is in Matthew 15, 6, right? And those who do that way, that's only for yourself, you know. God cannot, I mean, whether they believe or not, they cannot change God's word, you know, or God's promise. For these are still valid for those who believe. So like that question asked, will any man make God's word to be, you know, to be invalid? No, you can't do it, you know. So only for yourself. One can put off himself from the blessing, but he cannot change the promise. That's the promise of healing, right? You can cut yourself off from it by not believing. Doesn't mean there's no healing today with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he always do his part, you know. In John chapter 9, about, I won't read it, but that John, you know, the story of the man born blind, right? John chapter 9. The Jews did not believe that the blind man had seen. Even the man testified that is, you know, the man who healed you. He told them the story and so forth. They still went to go and meet his father. Is it true that your son was born blind? He is of age. Go and ask him, right? He is of age, you know. That's just after 9 or something like that, you know. So they didn't believe, right? So, however, that did not change the fact that he has received his sight, right? So, the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, did not believe in the supernatural, nor in miracles, nor the resurrection. But that did not prevent Christ rising from the dead. He did. He rose from the dead. Praise the Lord. So I'm saying that today, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did for them in the wilderness, he can do for you today in your body and so forth as a Christian. So the healing power of Christ. So we see right there. So you hold to the word of God, irrespective of circumstances, you know. Sometimes people are impatient, right? So, okay, let's see. Now, there are those who believe in the miracles of yesterday, but not today. See? Or they can believe what happened in the New Testament, if they want to, or what happened in the last revival. I think that, you know. What about today? And you see Gideon in the Bible, you know Gideon, and so on, that, you know. Nonetheless, could not believe in a religion good for yesterday and not for today. Gideon won't take it, you know. And when the angel says to Gideon, "Oh, Gideon, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor," Gideon protested, saying in Judges 6:13, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? And we are the all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us," he thought. Yeah, he did, because you sinned, right? "And deliver us into the hand of the Midianites." So we see Gideon there. He was not satisfied with God's miracles of yesterday. He wanted to know why there were no miracles for his day. See, what a thought, what a mind, right? And so we see, you know, he won't believe for just yesterday only. He wanted to know why. And God proved it to him anyway. And he had a miracle and he believed God. The Pharisees believed in God's power in the long ago, but they refused to accept the miracles of their day. They did, they refused, you know. Likewise, there are those today who believe in the miracles of the days of the apostles, but not the miracles of today. See? So, but as it was written long ago, here is what the Bible says: God is not the great I was. Praise the Lord. God is the great I am. How is it? His word never changes. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what is loaded. Hebrews 13:8. The same yesterday, today, and forever. That yesterday, meaning not just yesterday, but eternity behind us. Right? No, it has no beginning or day or the end of time. And it's a forever in the future, right? The same yesterday, meaning all the eternity behind us, God has always been the same. Today and the eternity ahead of us, forever. it will never change. So take what belongs to you in Christ, whether it is healing, you know, and so on. The healing power of Christ is as real today as any other time. A distinguishing feature of Christ's ministry was his healing services, in which multitudes of people were delivered from all manner of diseases and sicknesses. He healed the leper, the paralytic, the blind, the deaf, the bedridden, the palsied or paralysis, if you want to call it in modern terminology. His early ministry in Galilee is introduced with the following words in Matthew 4:23. I want to read that to you. Talking about the healing power of Christ, right? Right from the beginning, from the Old Testament and so forth, the same Lord Jesus and so on, you know, as Jehovah Rapha, you see the same today. Here's how he was introduced in Matthew 4:23, his ministry. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. As far as go to Syria, far from Israel to Syria, Bible says here. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had a palsy. And the Bible says he healed them, the healing power of Christ. You know, now you see, no sickness could stand before him. No, not one. Whether it was a fever, one time in Brother Peter's house, he was there, and the mother-in-law was sick of a fever. The Bible just laid his hand upon her. The Bible said right away, immediately, she arose and was well, and she ministered to them, you know. Whether it was a fever, an infirm spirit, or a legion of demons in Mark chapter 5, with the madman of Gadara, right? Say, we are legion, for we are many, he said, you know, as he said, of demons, which possess the lunatic. He hid them all. The cripple walked at his command. Even the dead responded to his words. And one of that scenario is this. There was a woman, a widow of Nain, whose only son died. And there was a funeral procession, and Christ was there. He dismissed the funeral. Praise God. Hallelujah. He did. What did he say to him? Young man. That is in Luke 7:14, if you want to look at it. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. Toast to the dead body, right? Say, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he arose. You see? The multitude was so moved that the people glorified God, saying in Luke 7:16, that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. If I may add, he's more than a prophet, amen. Bible says, he told them one time, he said, the queen of south shall be in judgment with this generation, and so on. He has got to see the wisdom of Sodom. Behold, greater than Sodom is here, he said. He is more than a prophet. He is the God of the prophets. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, so we see right here, after Christ's death and resurrection, the early church faithfully carried on the ministry of healing as the Lord commanded in the Great Commission. The scripture declared in Mark 16:20, and he went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them. You see the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Bible says, amen. I know, just summarizing what is happening, the same Jesus, the healing power of Christ. Now, within a few days after the day of Pentecost, we know the story in Acts 3, right? At the hour of prayer, you know, Peter and John, on their way to the temple to pray, met a man who had been lame from his mother's womb. That is in Acts 3:1-2. That's something to us in these last days, you know. In the early church, they have designated hour of prayer. It's happening this day again. We thank the Lord. Many group are rising up now. The Bible says the hour of prayer is 3 p.m. in the early church, you know. So the hour of prayer is regular. No, so that they did in the early church. Now the Lord is about to come. Groups are rising up now who are setting up regular hours of prayer. It can be in your home. You should have a regular hour of prayer in your home. You know, be consistent, you know, as long as you know. Not know the hour that it will come. The day will come. But you want to be regular. So whether it come in the first watch of the night, which is 9 p.m., or it come in the second watch at midnight, or it come at cock crow at 3 a.m., or it come at in the morning 6 a.m., doesn't matter. You just keep on praying and be consistent. Praise the Lord. So at the hour of prayer, the Bible says in Acts 3, 1 to 2, Peter commanded him to rise up and walk. The Bible says immediately he received strength and leaped and walked. And this miracle had a result of some 5,000 accepting Christ as their Savior. Acts 4, 4. Now, we say Peter said something. I'm talking about the healing power of Christ, right? If you look at Peter's testimony later down the road, all ye men of Israel, why are you wondering? As if by our holiness we have made this man to walk, did you know unto you that his name, through faith in his name, the healing power of Christ was what made the man to be made whole. Praise the Lord. The healing power of Christ. So dedicated to the church. You know, so it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is doing healing. So we see right there. So and in the early church, that the Bible I'm talking about grew, and it was reported in Acts 5:12. So much the Bible grew in there, and so, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, in so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and lay them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by must overshadow some of them. What revival they had. And people from all around about brought their sick to be healed. And faith was so high right there in that place and so on, that they were healed. Every one of them, the Bible says, that's in Acts 5:16, let me read that one also. No one was left out. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Everyone, and they all attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ. As they can act after, later on, Brother Peter was walking through one place, he saw a man called Aeneas. I thought it was a crippled man. Aeneas! Jesus Christ maketh you whole. That was it. The healing power of Christ. Praise God. And the whole city was converted. See? The Aeneas, Jesus Christ. That's all the prayer you made. You want to call it a prayer. Aeneas, Jesus Christ made you whole. The healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip went down to Samaria, a very humble man of God. He was one of the seven that were appointed to be distributing food, you know. In Acts chapter 7, I believe it is, or 6 or 7, I'm going to go to that and tell you that, you know. But he keeps on serving the Lord, I become an evangelist and so on. Anyway, went to the city of Samaria and had a mighty revival there, in so much that in Acts 8:7, the Bible says, unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, many paralyzed, and that were lame were healed. But it is, and there was great joy in that city. So we see, you know, he was a faithful minister of the gospel, and an able minister of the gospel, that Paul we said. And we know what happened to him one day. He was, you know, God took him out of that to go and do a minister somewhere else. Anyway, when the apostles completed their labors, this did not mark the end of divine healing, like many will say today. Oh, that's the only day of the apostles. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's for the early church only. That's not so. Nothing like that. Speaking in tongues. Oh, that's for the early church. No. No, no. So they will make excuses and something like that, you know. The ministry of healing was made an ordinance in the church too, not just to Israel. And God made provision for all ages of his people, that his people, if they should be become healed, might receive deliverance. He is still God, the Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He changes not. Praise the Lord. Not only did the Lord include divine healing in the Great Commission to believers, let anyone should misunderstand. The Lord set an ordinance for the practice of divine healing in the church. If only they will follow it. You have to do your part, right? Be it individual, be it a fellowship, be it a church. You have to do your part. And just as he gave a statute and an ordinance for it to the church in the wilderness, which is Israel, so God gave a command authorizing the ministry of healing in the church of the New Testament. And we find it in the familiar scripture in James chapter 5, the 14th verse. You know, people at church have to do their own part, right? But here's what the Lord said to the people. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick without fail. See, I put that one there. And the Lord shall raise him up. Here you go, the healing power of Christ, right? You pray the prayer, the Lord does the healing, amen? Praise the Lord. See, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that he may be healed. See, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. I am a witness to this scripture. Back in Nigeria, I have a witness there, my wife. Boy, I was sick almost to death. You know? I don't know what it was. My doctor said, you know what? Young man, what is this? He said, go and pray to your God because he doesn't know what to do for me anymore. I said, that is a challenge. I'm going to go to my God, innit? Praise the Lord. Call a handful of brethren, you know? And then my wife was there. So I said, what the scripture says. So let us do what the Bible says. Call the elders of the church. Let them pray. And they prayed. You know, I said that, you know. And my wife said one thing that I will never forget. In that prayer, I said, this Egyptian that you see shall never see it again. Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. And so it is. So it was. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so the word of God is true. Do your part. God will do his part without fail. Now, why the Lord has granted the privilege to any believer to minister to the sick. Are you surprised? If you are a believer, you can minister to the sick. You don't have to wait for the prophet or the priest or the pope or whosoever is it. Any people believe in divine healing or anybody. Every believer is commissioned because we are told in Mark 6:17. Surprisingly, right? You know? And these signs shall follow them that believe. Think for believers, right? That believe. In my name shall they, among many things, lay hand on the sick. I just keep some things in there. Lay hand on the sick. And they shall recover. God said they shall recover, right? You know, they don't recover, something is wrong somewhere. Praise God. Never going to be a fault with God. Praise the Lord. God said they shall recover. You know? Is it? And God has changed it. No. It takes two to make a covenant, right? So anyway, not only that, he has also given certain individuals special, what he called the gifts of healing. 1 Corinthians 12:9. There is general commission to every Christian to be able to lay hand on the sick in that great commission. On top of that, God has gifts of special spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 to certain people, you know, and they call it gifts of healing. That is in 1 Corinthians 12:9. We are talking about things that pertain to the church. As you may know, the things which have been freely given to you and I, the church is lacking behind in these things, knowing the things which have been freely given to her. And one of them today is the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's a gift of healing, that place, right? The plural indicates what? That the gifts differ from one another and are for the purpose of healing the different type of affliction. 1 Corinthians 12, I say gift of healing, right? Put an S there. Put that. It means it's there, you know, to heal different type of afflictions, you know. Certain individuals in the church have that gift, you know. Gift of healing and so on. But all can lay hands on the sick and recover. But there is a special gift of healing that God gets some people and to heal the sick. And it's true today to those who believe, you know, all things by God is believing, right? We have faith. Now, so anyway, the Lord declare that healing is the children's bread. If you are a child of God, healing is the children's bread. And they're speaking to the healing woman. Sardophonician woman, the Bible call her, you know, who was seeking deliverance for her daughter. The Lord said in Mark 7:27, to this woman the Lord said, seeking healing for her devil-possessed daughter and so on, let the children first be filled, for it is not me to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. The Lord was trying to put her on the line, even though it's a rebuff, right? But the Lord was trying to put her on the path of faith, really, you know, on the healing ground of faith. But the point is this: when one becomes a child of God, that's what I'm trying to say, really, not too much about the woman. He then or she has a right to be a partaker of the children's bread, which we see in these circumstances, healing for the body. So healing is the children's bread. Talking of the healing power of Christ, I like to say that this is one of the things that has been freely given to the church and that is available for every one of us. Now, Christ's healing is included in that famous 91 Psalm. I'm going to cut it short here on the 94th Psalm. So Christ's healing. So you can see all throughout the Bible, whether it's the Old or New Testament, it's the same Christ, the healing power of Christ. In the 94th Psalm, Christ's healing is included. A psalm of divine protection, right? Psalm 91 is a psalm of divine protection, I believe, written especially for this end of the age. It's true for all ages. But even it's even more appropriate in this end of time. This 94th Psalm goes beyond the promise of healing. It includes much more than that. It is a sublime revelation of divine protection to the believer and his family. What wonderfulness that God has done for his people. Nevertheless, the psalm opens up with a frank statement in Psalm 91 verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What does that mean to us? It means that this blessing are for those who chose to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, not for everybody, who have chosen to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. The blessings are not for those who are satisfied with a casual and superficial professing of religion, no, but those who choose to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Indeed, such persons who are dwelling in superficial profession of religion are usually unaware that there is even such a thing as a secret place. Either you don't know their Bible or you don't believe it, you know. But I tell you, there is such a place. Even old Job knew of such a thing, and he warned us, and he told us this in Job 28 verse 7. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vultures eye has not seen. I'm talking of many. Don't even know that's a secret place, right? Less of taking advantage of them, right? So Job is talking to us here. The lion's webs, meaning the lion cubs, have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. So we see, first of all, the believer in the secret place is granted protection from the snares of Satan. What a wonderful psalm it is that you should just get accustomed to in family protection, psalm and so on. Anyway, the devil, with the shrewdness he has gained by his long experience, you know, sets traps for the people of God to cause them, if they are not cautious, to stumble and fall. That's what the devil does. And much more now, the Bible says in Revelation 12:12, knowing that his time is short, right? You know, Satan knows that he has but a short time, right? And many of God's children don't even know that time is short. What a terrible thing, you know. See? Anyway, so certain snares, for God's children, I think that, you know. So, if you're not cautious, I think that, you know, So anyway, so and so one has to be very careful, because you know it's a sinner for God's people to fall into them and so on. Anyway, but the man who dwells in the secret place of the Most High may never be aware of some of the snares of the devil that are set for them. Why? For God promised to him is in the verse 3 of Psalm 91. He said, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. See, that's for you as you believe. You know, so surely, without any doubt, the Lord will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. The dweller in the secret place is safe from agents of mass destruction. That's what has become popular these days, in the Iran, the invasion of Iraq and so on, weapons of mass destruction and so on. God puts a 91 there for God's children at the end of the age. Who know what happened? Anytime from this time and so on. Psalm 91 verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that fleeth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that waiteth at noonday. Now, verse 7 says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. What kind of thing is that? That 10,000 can fall at your right hand? What kind of it? No, we have today all kind of weapons of mass destruction. So, with the development of nuclear and even bacteriological warfare in these last days, horrors have been prepared to ravage the earth, see, involving weapons more deadly than any that have ever been known before. But God has promised that though 10,000 shall fall at the right hand, it shall not come 90. It's in the Bible right here. Shall there be an atomic detonation here? God, if you know Psalm 91, or there is a biological warfare, or something like that, you know, are you going to be scared? 10,000 down, God says so. It's there for you and me, but you must know it and appropriate it. Praise the Lord. There is even divine protection against accident. Psalm 91 verse 10. Now I'm quoting so much for me. You have to be familiar with this psalm. Make it your daily, meditation and something like that, you know. There shall no evil befall thee. God says so, you know. And you can stand on that one forever and ever. No permanent misfortune can befall those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. What about sickness, disease, or the plague? More than healing is promised in this psalm. So I want to round up here this morning. More than healing is promised in this Psalm 91, really, you know. And it emphasizes in the 10th verse, neither shall any plague come neither dwell. This is a promise that disease will not be allowed to strike a man's family. But you must be familiar with this Psalm. Bible says, in his word, does he meditate day and night? Sometimes we say we know the Bible, right? That doesn't stop there. He said day and night you meditate in them, digesting the word of God, right? They become part of you. Then it becomes useful, handy when things happen around you, you know. And he told Joshua, and this word shall not depart from your mouth too. Not only to know them and meditate of them, you have to confess them. Praise the Lord. See? Day and night. And so that's how you get God promise to get that to you and so on, you know. So anyway, so this is a promise that disease will not be allowed to strike a man's family and so on. Nor is there any need for fear. No need to be afraid. Verse 5 says, Psalm 91 verse 5 says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that fleeth by day. What a day we are living in. Terror in every city, you know, and all that, you know, everywhere and so on. How that fled by day, all the gun shooting and so on, that you know, all this in the Bible, it covers all these things. Now for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, all the 2 years in a row, whether man or devil made and so on, that you know, the plague and so forth, you know, and this time is made for times like this, you know, the end of time, you know, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the healing power of Christ cover all these things for the child of God, so don't be afraid. The pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasted at noonday. The 91st Psalm. Christian. you are a Christian of the 91st verse. That means you are a Christian of Psalm 91. You ought to be to get all these things. So the 91st Psalm Christian is not on the defense. No. He takes the offensive. He assumes the dominion which Satan usurped, but which God, the Lord Jesus Christ, intended for his people to be restored to us. He's the God of this world, meaning the devil is still the God of this world, but he cannot lord over you as a Christian. In the book of Colossians, we are told, who has delivered us from the power or authority of darkness, right? And has translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. Praise be the Lord. Yes, sir. You see the God of this world, but not over the Christian who knows his right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, Psalm 91 verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Well, what does that mean? This is a clear allusion to your adversary, the devil. That which is our adversary, right? And as a running lion in 1 Peter 5:8, walketh about, seeking whom he might devour. That's 1 Peter 5:8. Jesus, the Lord, speaking to his disciples in Luke 10:19, he says this, gave them, and you and I, power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That promise is true today. It's a covenant. How to play your part? By applying the word of God, having faith in God's word, in his promises. You see, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Just take it to heart and act on the word of God. The Lord gives his angels charge over the believer who is in secret place, and they are watching over you and me. So they are concerned with your safety, watching over your safety and your good. Verse 11 of Psalm 91 says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, in your driving back and forth, and whatever you go, when you travel, and something that you know, in all thy way. What a wonderful promise. In all thy, no matter wherever you go, in all your ways. I always say that when I see the word all in the Bible, who forgiveth? All thy iniquity said, is someone who tell it. Who healeth? All. When I see the word all the Bible, I just rejoice. Praise the Lord. Guys, it's savior to the uttermost, savior to the uttermost. Anyway, as we round this up this morning, the Lord gives his angels. Yes, that's right. The angel charge over the believer who is in the secret place, and they watch over you and all that you have. Let me give a warning here. Not that you and I will have immunity from trouble. I'm not saying that, but rather, he will deliver you from trouble. Amen? Praise the Lord. Some people, when the preacher are converted, they don't tell them the whole story, right? No, he's not immune from trouble. In fact, many are the afflictions of the righteous, right? Then they walk on, but the Lord delivered them from them all. I like that one too. Anyway, so in in Psalm 91, verse 15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, you see. I'm in trouble as a Christian. I will deliver him and honor him. So, this morning, there is a warfare on. Ephesians 6 tells us, and a Christian who lives in the 94th Psalm may get some scars. I get scars, you get scars. Yeah, you do. Some scars. But there will always be deliverance for you and I. Amen? As you look unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Finally, there is a promise of longevity in that Psalm. Psalm 91 verse 16. With long life, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Right in that time. Long life. Don't let Satan try to cut short your life. He's a liar and father of life. Well, you can see this in two ways, this particular promise. For some, this may mean not an endless mortal life, but that person will not be cut short in the midst of his days before completing his life's work, and thereafter go to his reward. That's one part of it. But we have yet another promise in the Bible. And That one said in 1 Corinthians 15:51. So the time we have long life, longevity and so on, which and go to their reward as well as that, you know. But another promise given us in 1 Corinthians 15:51, a declaration. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. Then skip to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, as I read the really last scripture here this morning. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, you know, Caleb said, the Lord has kept me all these days, right? You know, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise be the Lord. Amen. A problem that can take place any time from now. We don't know the day or the hour. All we know is that we are living in that season. I tell you of a truth. The greatest event that will overshadow all the world crisis and events is about to occur. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in the rapture will be the greatest event that has ever occurred since his ascension. Praise be the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. So this morning, dare to always take advantage of the Lord's healing power in your life and your family. For he said, 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, and even that so prospering. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, the Savior to the uttermost Lord. Father, O Lord God, and giving us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. I came that they might have life and to have it more abundantly. That's what he came to do. Lord, we thank you this morning, reminding ourselves, O Lord, of one of the things which have been freely given unto us. Healing is the children's bread, and it comes from our Lord Jesus Christ as part of our redemption. So we thank you this morning for putting us in remembrance of all this as we go. Help every one of us to take our position in the offensive, not defensive, but offensive. You see the weapon. Bible says the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are mighty through God, the Lord Jesus, that will be pulling down of any kind of all strongholds. So be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, then we can get more done for the Lord. When we walk in health and vitality, we can get more done for the Lord. You know, whether it's witnessing or praying, or whatever the Lord calls us to do, can better be done when we are in health and for all of us. So now Lord, we thank you for being with us this morning in the reading of your word. So now we commit the week to your hand, Lord. You know, we pray. Now you already told us you are with us always, even to the end of the world. Let your people have favor everywhere they turn, in their workplace, in their business, in the name of Jesus. He has said it, he wants you to prosper. And we take advantage of that promise right now in a special way this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, cleaving to the Lord, in the name of the Lord, they shall be like trees planted by the waterside that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. And your leaf will not wither. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. God says so. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Health and riches shall be in the house of the righteous. And Jesus Christ is your righteousness. So you are righteous. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Health and riches shall be in your house. The Bible says in Psalm 112 or something like that. So we thank you this morning. Giving unto us all things that pertain unto life unto godliness. That he may serve the law without distraction. In the name of Jesus. He blesses us so we can serve him without distraction. We thank you this morning. We worship you, Lord. Receive all the glory be unto your name. Father, above all things, Lord. I can't also worry to escape all these things that shall surely come to pass, which shall be seen upon the face of the earth. Bible says, a time of trouble, the Lord says so, such as has never been since the beginning of the world. And there shall be no such as time again, the tribulation and so on like that, you know. The mark of the beast and the righteous, the man of sin, walking underneath, troubling the economy of the world, causing chaos and anarchy, that he may come and say, I am that man who can solve all these problems. We are living in that hour now. Overnight, he will uncover himself you know, and be the pretend to be a benefactor of the world, but at a great price, at the loss of individual liberty, realize that to solve the problem at the price of taking away their liberty from them, then we know all of a sudden, you know, and so on, you know what, you know, cause all the economic crisis in Daniel 8:5, 8:35, Bible says, craft shall prosper in his hand, you know, at the price of the loss of human liberty. You have to issue a mark of doom, so that can't buy or sell, you know, until you have that mark as well. And those who receive it, the mark of doom. So before you know it, then the Bible says, a tribulation. Such as has never been since the world begun, we are called this earth. Say that you may escape all these things, Lord. Say, watch therefore and pray always. I can't ask the world to escape all these things, Lord. And we ask this morning as a corporate body in Jesus' name. And we say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. The bride, you know, and so on, and this is say, and the Spirit say, come, whosoever, let them come and drink freely of the water of life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns.